This message was shared from the pulpit at Good News Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org.
We've been in a series on these Sunday evenings on biblical discipleship, but taking it another step to where we have confidence with the Word of God to be able to handle some of the more difficult things that folks face today. But I would remind us, first, there's nothing new under the sun, right? There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I think back to the Old Testament, those prophets who thundered for the Lord. What were their qualifications? Well, one of the things the scripture shows us is they came from widely varied backgrounds. How were they so mightily used of the Lord? Two things. They knew God and they knew what he had said. They weren't called to be experts in their field. They weren't called to psychoanalyze. What they were called to do is to shepherd God's sheep, to love them as God does, and to simply proclaim. They were heralds. Here's what God has said, and here's what he says to us. There's blessing when you follow him and love him with all of your being, and there is serious trouble that awaits if you turn from him. It was really that simple. Well, who did God choose then to be the under shepherds for the early church? Well, the Lord put out a call for resumes and lots of degrees. Now, he walked around a big lake and he said to fishermen, "Follow me." For 3.5 years, they got the best education ever. But they sat at Jesus' feet and they learned to know him and trust him. And so who is qualified to counsel? Who's qualified to disciple? People that know God, worship him, love him, and that know his word are able to rightly divide the truth. And so tonight I want to take it in this direction because I believe this with all my heart. Those who are best equipped to disciple and help folks with these very difficult situations are those who understand sanctification. Those who understand the doctrine of spiritual growth. When God saves us, he immediately begins to grow us into the image of Jesus Christ. But we have to understand what the scripture teaches in order for that to happen in our own lives and then for us to be able to share that truth with others. One of the reasons that the church is in trouble today, in America at least, is the fact that folks don't even understand how growth works. Frankly, on the physical side, it's a little easier. You know, we know that nutrition and exercise and sleep, those things will result in growth. But spiritually, we have to understand that the physical was given to us to mirror the spiritual. But on the spiritual side, the only way we're going to understand growth is to understand what God has said here. Okay? This is the key. This is the answer book. So look at your outline. What happens when a baby does not grow? Sometimes that happens. What happens when they don't grow? Well, physically, there's laborious care. We all expect to care for infants and 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, a 13-year-old that still has to have that kind of parental care, we know there's a serious problem. And the bigger they get, if they're not able to care for themselves, that is laborious. Once again, using that imagery, think about the fact that there's limited joy. You know, there is great joy when they're this big and we can carry them here, and they may keep us up all night, all right? And they may be dysfunctional when it comes to the diaper. But we expect it. When they get into big bodies and they still need that kind of care, that can affect joy. Letter C, there is also little service. God made us to work. God made us to bear fruit for His glory. We expect to give a lot of service to a little person. They need that care. They need that constant attention. But when there isn't growth, we know that there is little service. You know, we and our family happen to know about this. My dad was one of five brothers, and I've got an uncle who is just, he's the dearest soul. He is in his 70s now, but as a 8-year-old, he fell out of a barn haymow onto the barn floor. And when that happened, there were permanent results of that injury. To this day, Uncle Rick is still at about an 8-year-old level. Now, he always amazed me because there wasn't a barn chore that he couldn't do. He was out there every day because his daddy, my grandfather, had taught him. But limited in service. He couldn't farm like the other brothers. He couldn't have careers and a family like the other brothers. Little service because of hindrances to growth. I think we get the picture. Now, spiritually, all of the above are true, including this. When someone isn't growing spiritually, letter D, there's immature behavior, contention. There's dirty living. You're in Galatians chapter 5. Look down, please, at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And you will recognize this passage if you're a student of the Word, that Paul talks about the works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are these, and they hinder growth, but they result in immature behavior. Not only that, there's spiritual defeat. Galatians 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Consider with me 1 Corinthians 13, and notice what Paul says to this church, chapter 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. All right, so spiritual defeat if there's not growth. Letter F, there's guilt. Does God intend for the Christian to live a guilt-ridden life? No. No. We know that guilt is part of the alarm system that God has built into us, but He has called us unto peace, not guilt. He's called us unto peace, not defeat. But there are Christians who never get to know the abundant life, the joy of the Lord, because they're not growing and they live constantly with guilt. By the way, if you don't know the Word of God, you can even feel guilty about things that you shouldn't even feel guilty about. But a lack of spiritual growth causes that. And ultimately, letter G, it leads to negative feelings like fear and depression. Now again, we're all in broken flesh, and so those things can overtake us, every one of us. But if you understand biblical sanctification, you know what to do when those thoughts and those fears start to overcome you. But unless you know sanctification, unless you're growing, this can be your existence, but it's not what God intended. God intends for us to grow. Now, why must we grow? Take your Bible and turn over to Luke chapter 2. As Christians, we know that we get used to certain phrases. We will use words like godly. We will use words like Christ-likeness. But do we really understand what it's like to be like Christ? Are we striving to be like Christ? Believers need to grow because, number one, Jesus grew. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus grew. Luke 2. Notice verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom as well as physical stature and in favor with, this amazes me, as God, he grew in favor with God and man. In fact, later the scripture will say that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And I'll tell you right now, I just stepped out onto an area where my mind struggles to understand all that. He's all God, Son of God, in flesh. And in this flesh, as he was yielded to the Spirit, Jesus had to submit to authority. He grew. He learned. That's what these passages tell us. And by the way, then, he is the perfect example for us. He did know all things. You and I don't. And so, Jesus grew. We need to follow his example. Now, number two, not only that, but growth is commanded. 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice what verse 18 tells us. But you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, in this passage, the two parts go together. If we grow in grace, understanding what grace will do to us and what grace teaches us, it's his enablement. Understanding how important it is to have the Lord's strength for every moment of every day. And if we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, you know what we're going to be able to do? Then and only then be able to bring glory to God now. And we know we'll bring glory to him forever. And so, growth is commanded. If you're not growing, you're out of fellowship with God. If growth isn't even something you're considering. Many Christians, every day is just getting by. I just need to get through this day. I need to get it done with as much of my task list as I can. I need to get this done and this done because there's tomorrow and there's this deadline next week. Stop, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's commanded. Number three, to grow is to be more like Christ. I love Romans chapter 8. Let's turn over that there. Many of us can quote Romans 8:28, great passage of Scripture. What an encouragement when we read these words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'd like you to do something in your Bible tonight, next to verse 28. I'd like you to write one simple word. Write the word growth. That's right. All things work together for good to them that love God. And to them who are the called according to his purpose. We talked about that this morning. How do you ever discover his purpose? It's a daily walk with God, worshiping him, fellowshipping with him, obeying him. Now, ultimately, What is the purpose? Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to what? The image of his son. Growth is important because every day it helps me look more and more like Jesus, to become more and more like him. That's why growth is important. And by the way, in your notes, you might want to write this down. There were a few times during Jesus' earthly ministry that there was a voice from heaven that spoke. It spoke to put the perspective of disciples into place. It spoke, that voice spoke to help everyone understand that Jesus was who he said he was. It was the voice of God, and what did he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you want to be well pleasing to the Father? It's a simple way. Be like the Son. Be like the Son. To grow is to be more like Christ. Number four, immaturity leads to many problems. Immaturity leads to many problems. As you're turning over to Hebrews chapter 5, let me ask this question. And please don't respond audibly. Have you ever been in a church where there was turmoil? Don't answer. A lot of us have been in those kinds of situations. Let me ask you this question. Did a lack of spiritual maturity have anything to do with those problems? And now you're chuckling. It's amazing how Christians can ruin churches because of immaturity, full of themselves, not like Christ, not even focused on the things of Christ, focused on them. He must increase, I must. Yeah. Immaturity leads to many problems. Hebrews 5, verse 12 says this, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, more immaturity. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, maturity, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I wish we had time tonight to unpackage that. But when you're feeding on the meat and you're able to digest that and then put that to use through exercise, what does that result in? Just good discernment. So many church problems are because of spiritual immaturity that lacks any discernment, any mind of the things of God. Then number five, when believers grow, discipleship will be fulfilled. And I love that. And I'll just say I love that about Good News Baptist Church. There are many here who are involved in discipleship. In fact, there are many here who are growing. But the evidence of that is discipleship. Who are you discipling? Who is on your radar because you want to see them come to Christ, and then you want to teach them what God has taught you about spiritual growth? Ephesians 4:16 says this, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual, it's just the word effective, the working, effective working in the measure of every part. Pause, underline, every part. So thankful for my church family, but I'm looking out tonight at the various parts. And every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. So through love, I go with my understanding of sanctification because God is growing me and I edify others to greater sanctification. That's why believers must grow. By the way, this is not age limited. I understand our littlest people, okay, they're going to struggle to grasp some of this. I will tell you that as a church, we ought to be praying and encouraging. You young people can get this. You can get this. And you can approach other teens just like you think adults should be approaching other adults with these truths to help us all grow into the image of Christ. You can do this. But you've got to understand growth yourself. And that's why we're taking time to look at this. And so, what is the doctrine of growth called? What is it called in Scripture? You have two blanks there. You can put in these words. It's progressive sanctification. Now, let's take a moment to differentiate between progressive sanctification and positional sanctification. The word sanctify simply means this: to set apart. Let me help you understand in a broader sense how this was used in Scripture. Anything that was used for God's purposes was considered sanctified. Let's look at the Old Testament for just a moment. Over and over, and right now, if you're reading through your Bible this year with the Bible plan that we have given out, you're in Leviticus. Every year I can't wait to get to Leviticus. All right, I may have stretched that a little bit, okay? But let me tell you about Leviticus. Leviticus tells me how holy and careful my God is about everything. And he hasn't changed as God today as he was back in Moses' day. When I live before him, I have to be very, very careful. He is holy God. I'm also reminded as I read Leviticus, I don't know how they remembered all that. And I'm reminded that the law doesn't bring me favor with God. I can't keep that, and they couldn't either. Unless they were completely yielded to the Lord. And so I need God's strength to be able to please him by doing what he has said. But even as we're reading about the tabernacle and the altars there, the menorah, when we read about the instruments that were used for all the baking of the showbread and all that, the Scripture keeps referring to those things as sanctified. Pans and spoons, sanctified? Yeah, because it was prepared, it was made for use in the tabernacle of God. So it was set apart, and it was not to be used for anything common. Guess what? When you got saved, God set you apart to himself. And there is nothing about you that is to be used to serve anything else but God. Sanctification reminds us of the doctrine of eternal security. Positionally, you're sanctified. You're a called out people, the church, the ecclesia. But you've been called out from the world, regenerated, given new life, and sanctified for the Master's use. That's who we are. That can't change. Even when we do, listen, when we do unsanctified things. But to keep from doing unsanctified things, that's where progressive sanctification comes in, where every day I continue to pursue God. I spend time in his presence. I talk to him. I love him. I praise him. I confess sin to him. I draw nigh to him. The point is, I continue to pursue my God as he continues to work in me. Every day, I get 100% of God. Amen? Every day, what percentage of you does God get? That's the point. I don't ever have to worry about my Lord not being there for me. My Lord should never have to wonder if I'm there for him. But as I yield myself to him, he continues the maturing process in me. That is progressive sanctification. Now, are we as careful to teach sanctification as we are to teach salvation? This is where what's happening in many churches breaks down. Many evangelical churches, they preach the gospel, they preach the gospel. But the gospel is not just how I get saved. It's because of the work of the gospel then and the indwelling Holy Spirit that now I can be sanctified, grow into the image of Christ. I hope you believe that the pulpit ministry at Good News Baptist Church, me, but not just me, the other men that stand and preach God's word to you, that they've moved on from salvation and not yielding to dead works, and they're teaching you how to grow into the image of Christ. That certainly was true under Pastor Coles. All right, so notice the bullets here. The work of God in its entirety is affected by this doctrine. Proper growth in the body affects health, reproduction, and usefulness, or we would say fruitfulness. Next bullet, God's people must choose between quick fixes, shortcuts. You know, we're so flippant about giving out advice. Well, I tried this, maybe it'll work for you. Well, hey, I read this book. It's a quick read. I think it'll help you. Wait a minute. There aren't any shortcuts to sanctification. When we think that way, there's the resulting spiritual anemia, and it all affects the biblical theology of growth and maturity. And so what does the Bible say about progressive sanctification? And I would just refer to it as the doctrine of growth. What does the Bible say? Well, the Holy Spirit can do anything that he desires to do. And as Bible believers, we should expect him to do what he said he would. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's the good work? The day of Jesus Christ, by the way, is when you and I have the most important day of our life. What's the most important day of your life? Some would say, well, it was when I got saved. That is the most important day in light of the most important day. What's the most important day? Here it is. And by the way, we have some weddings this summer, and I'm telling these couples who are getting ready for marriage, I ask them, what's the most important day of your life? I know what I wanted to say when I was preparing for a wedding, my wedding day. And Lord, please don't come back until that. I want you to come back, but can you just... Don't look pious at me. You were thinking the same thing, all right? But I tell them the most important day of your life is not the wedding day. It's the day when each of you stands before Jesus. And God is giving you to each other to help you prepare for that day. All right. And so, sanctification, spiritual growth, the theology of spiritual growth, that does matter. Now, what's involved with the doctrine of spiritual growth? There are five characteristics of biblical sanctification that help us have a full understanding biblically of the growth process. And our time is up. Okay? So next time, we're going to get into these characteristics. This is really just defining from Scripture what the Lord says about growth. But here's your homework for this week. Would you begin this week, some of you already have this mindset, but if you don't, would you begin this week to say, God, help me be aware of my spiritual growth. And if you say that to the Lord, here's what immediately is going to come into your mind. You're going to have to spend a lot of time with me. I'll close with this thought. One of the things about marriage that amazes me, the longer two people are married, now I don't want this to concern you, the longer they're married, the more they start looking alike. What an encouraging thought, right? All right, don't dwell on that. The point is, do you remember a time in the New Testament when people looked on the disciples of Jesus Christ, and here's what they noted, that they had been with Jesus. There you go. There you go. So this week, let's spend a lot of time with our Lord. Let him teach you. Ask him, Lord, grow me. Grow me to be like you that I might bring you greater glory. Would you stand together with me, please? Father, thank you for the time we've been able to share together in your word tonight. Thank you for this precious doctrine. And Lord, would you help us as we take the next step of actually getting into these important points of how you've described how our spiritual growth should work. Lord, help us to yield to you that you might do that in us, for that is what is best, and that is the will of God, even our sanctification. Thank you for the good attention of our church family tonight, your people. And Lord, would you grow us to be like you? Help us to thrust out anything it's getting in the way of that.
Thank you for listening. If you have questions about your relationship with God, or you would like to know more about the ministry of Good News Baptist Church, you can visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org or call us at 757-488-3241. We trust your heart was challenged as you listened, and we want to encourage you to share this message with others. May the truth of God's word be your guide as you strive to follow Christ and make him known to others.